time, good afternoon, and welcome to Visions and Sound. My name is Rob Daniels. Well, this week's show is one of my many favorite, one of my favorite kind of shows. It's a composer feature. Now, this week's composer is Ramin Djawadi. Now, Ramin has come into his own in the past few years, writing for such high-profile projects as Thunderbirds, where he helped Hans Zimmer with some additional music, now Blade Trinity, Open Season, Mr. Brooks, and most recently, the Iron Man film. I recently had the great opportunity to speak to Ramin a few weeks ago, not only about his score to Iron Man, but as several others as well. Here is part one of the interview that I did with Ramin Djawadi.
What is your musical background?
I was born and raised in Germany, grew up with classical music, played piano at age 4, and then switched to guitar at 11, and then as a teenager, I stylistically all of a sudden drastically switched to rock music and Metallica and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Boston to attend Berklee College of Music, and there I got absolutely into jazz, actually. So I studied jazz there and then and film composition, and then I ended up here in L.A.
Okay. So yeah. What was it that that first sort of brought you to write film and TV music?
I've kind of always set out to do it, actually, just because the music that I always wrote was, I never wrote lyrics, and everything was always a bit more cinematic than songs. And so somehow that's what I wanted to do, actually, for a living. I had that planned out very early on, like in seventh grade or something. So I followed that path.
All right, so what is the first thing you do when you begin to write a score?
Come up with a sound palette and write the themes. So I usually start. I watch the movie or I read the script, depending of what stage of post production we're at. I just try to come up with a concept and try to write themes, and then also, be it orchestral, be it more electronic, or every score is different. And then I go up against picture and start writing actually two picture.
Okay. So I first became aware of your work on Thunderbirds, where you worked with Hans Zimmer.
Yeah.
How was it that you came to work on that film?
Hans simply asked me to do it with him, actually. I think it was right after we finished Pirates, actually. I think that movie came up, and then he just said to me, would you be interested in working on this movie with me? And I said, of course. Set off to do it.
Okay. Now, some of your credits are actually in additional music. What is that? What exactly does that mean?
It can be a very wide term, actually. What it basically means is that I or the composer that has the credit wrote additional cues in that movie. So, for example, if like on Batman Begins, where I work with Hans and James, they wrote the core of the movie, or set the, like I said earlier, like they wrote the themes and then set up the sound palette, and then I came in and just helped basically write the entire score with them. So, I didn't write the Batman theme. That was Hans and James.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what really additional music means, is you're just adding to what's there and working with the main composer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, do you work with the main with the composer? You're not separate off in another place doing this.
No, actually, I am. I'm completely independent.
Okay.
Yeah, the way it works here is that Hans. It's a fairly big building, and there's about 8 of us here that are completely independent composers. And the way it works is that thanks to Hans, he basically started my career this way, that I would do work on movies like Pirates or Batman or Something's Gotta Give with him. And he'll write the themes, and he'll write the majority of the cues, but then the younger guys help writing the score, and then eventually you pick up your own work. So I just rent the studio space here in this complex, but I'm completely independent from that.
Okay. Now another one of my a favorite work of mine of yours actually is the Blade Trinity score.
Oh yeah.
So what brought you to that film?
It was my agent called me and said there's this movie, I want you to go meet the director. They might want you to do some additional music, because that happens sometimes, that the things don't the schedule changes or the cues are not liked enough, and then people get brought in to help. So I met with the director, and then I simply thought I was just going to help out. And he said, And I said, look, I can do it. You know, whatever scene you want me to attack first, I can, you know, just let me know. And he goes, no, what do you mean? I want you to do the entire movie. So, and then it turned out actually that I was brought on to do the entire score. So I, so we went from there. It was a very short amount of time too. I think I had like four and a half weeks or 5 weeks.
Okay. Now, because Blade Trinity was a sequel, did you you base any of your music off the or get any inspiration from the previous films?
I didn't base anything on the previous film. I definitely took inspiration from it. I watched both movies. I actually knew them already at the time, and I just kind of listened to what Mark and Marco had done, and I just kind of tried to continue that, but with the new direction in mind as well, just because that one, they also teamed me up with the Reza, so they wanted a little bit more of an electronica style score and also with hip-hop elements, and so I had to just take it a bit further. And also these, what I always found interesting about these movies was that they have score and then all of a sudden a Crystal Method song or something will kick in, and what I tried with that score was to kind of blend the two a bit more so that it doesn't stick out so much. Oh, here's a song and here's score. So I tried to do the score almost a little bit like that too. It's much more electronic.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't hurt to work with the Reza, does it?
No, absolutely not. It was a great experience actually to work with him. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
What kind of a collaboration was that in working? Did you work together, or were you working in separate studios, or that, how does that work?
A little bit of both. Yeah, we had our separate studio set up, but he would come over and just bring me a bunch of. When I was brought on, had already been working on it, so he had already done a bunch of work, and so mm-hmm. he would just show me scenes that he had already started, and he would say, oh, look, I have already a pretty cool map here, you know, see what you can add. And then sometimes he would have, like, a cool drum groove or a cool bass groove, and then I would add my orchestral elements to it or add more electronics to it, and then we just kind of mix it up like that.
Okay.
It's
a shame that that there's only, like, one of your tracks.
Actually, I agree.
Two of the tracks on the soundtrack, because it's a fantastic score.
Oh yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, I was, and to be honest, I don't know why it was never released.
It's too bad.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, speaking of something that has been released, your score to Prison Break.
Right.
So how did you come to work on the TV series?
Actually, I have to thank my agent for that again. Just because I've done more movies, I was never really that interested in the TV world. But she called me up one day and said, "Ramin, there's this TV show that Brett Ratner did the pilot, and he's also producing it, and it's really cool. This is very interesting. You should take a look at this." And they're interested in meeting with you. So I went to the meeting, and we had a talk, and what was actually interesting, too, is that I kind of, in the meeting, said, well, look, I actually am more used to the film stuff, and I would love, if I come on board, I would love to treat this like a big movie, basically. So I would like to come up with themes and for characters and for plot lines, and they were actually thrilled about that, and that's how we kind of attacked. That's how the approach was for that show. So, and then I'm glad that I actually did it, because, you know, who knows that all of a sudden this is such a hit show and goes worldwide and everything. So it's it's great.
Well, yeah, I mean, you what do you do to prepare to put out a CD for music like Prison Break?
It's basically, I'm trying to on every project, it's like a best off. So I leave the picture alone and I just take the pieces of music and just try to make it as interesting as possible for the you know, that you just get your experience and get reminded of the show or the movie. And so I actually spend quite a bit of time cutting things up and changing things around just because obviously in the show itself there might be moments where it just has to dip under dialogue so that it fits better with the picture. But on a CD, obviously you can get away from that and then just make it more interesting as a piece of music.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then with Prison Break, there was obviously quite a lot to choose from, so it actually took me quite a while to just pick the bits. We could probably release three more CDs.
What do you find is the main difference in composing music for TV as opposed to films?
Well, the turnaround is definitely much, much faster on a TV show. Like on Prison Break, for example, on Blade, was the same thing. You only get about 3 to 4 days to do an entire episode, which in both cases it was about 40 minutes of music. So, yeah, it was actually kind of hard for me just because I still tried to approach it with the movie approach and the detail that comes with that. It was very hard actually to get through that and still have like a big cinematic score. Yeah, I didn't sleep very much, that's for sure.
So now for the Blade series, there's sort of a difference between the film that you did, or did you actually get to work on the series because of your work on the film?
Yeah, absolutely. Because it was David Goyer, who was the director on Blade Trinity. He was the producer on that TV show, so he called me up and said, "Ramin, you know, we're doing this TV show. Would you be interested in this?" And I said, "Of course." So I love working with him, actually. So yeah, I got on board, and then we used a little bit of Blade Trinity, but really only a couple of cues. Just because there was a female character, so it was set up a little bit different, and also the Trinity score was a little bit too big for TV, so we scaled it back a little bit and just went with even more hip hop elements, but much more scaled down.
Right. Now, when you talk about scaling back your scores and that sort of thing, what do you mean by that? Like,
it wasn't as grand with like these big orchestral action cues, or like for example at the end of Blade Trinity, where it has this big orchestral suite, like something like that didn't exist in the TV show actually.
And with a little bit of the interview that I did with Ramin Djawadi, it's fantastic. So what I will do is I will welcome you back to Visions in Sound as we're presenting the music of composer Ramin Djawadi, of course. Now, before I get to part two of the interview, here is some of Ramin's music to Blade Trinity. And some of this stuff has never been released, except in the context of the movie. So we'll be back in just a little bit.
27th, 2008.
What we do in life echoes in eternity.
The end is coming.
If we have to give our lives, we give him hell before we do!
An end so shocking.
Hey, wait. What's with all this dramatic music and such?
Sorry, it's what I do.
Why don't you let me take over for a bit?
Okay.
Rob Daniels here from the show Visions and Sound, the movie, TV, and video game soundtrack program. Some of you may or may not know I'll be leaving CKMS on June 27th. I'd like to take this opportunity to say thank you for listening over the past 8 years and hope that you've enjoyed the show each and every week. It has been my pleasure to share my love of soundtrack music with you all. There are far, far too many people to completely thank here, so hope you will join me on my final show, June 27th, starting at 3:20, so that I may say a proper farewell to all my loyal listeners. Oh, by the way, this is farewell, not goodbye, as it does not end here. I hope that you will follow me to Visions and Sound's new home on genienet.ca to continue to experience the pure listening enjoyment of film, TV, and video game soundtrack music each and every week.
Rob, is it okay if I come back?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
In an end so shocking, it will blow your mind. Visions in Sound. The end is coming.
Everything that has a beginning
has an end, yes. Well, yeah, as most of you do know, that my show will be coming to a close next week. So I just wanted to throw that out to you. And like I said in the promo there, not the end, but just sort of a new beginning. Anyway, welcome back to Visions and Sound as I'm presenting the scores of composer Ramin Djawadi. And before I get to part two of the interview. I'm going to get to part two of the interview. What am I talking about in just a second? If you are interested in any of the film, television, or video game music that I do play here on Vision and Sound, you can contact me here at the station at 884-CKMS. That's 884-2567. You can also try me online at visionsinsound2000@hotmail.com. Well, here is part two of the interview that I did with Ramin Djawadi.
So now, you also have entered the world of animation with Open Season. How was that for you as a composer? What differences do you find as opposed to live action?
Yeah, actually, I loved that I had a chance to work on that, just because animation is a bit different. The way that picture arrives and how you start writing the picture and the amount of detail is just incredible, just because there's so many changes. And I also just love, especially on Open Season, that it was, I think I overdubbed instruments for maybe 3 weeks straight, because I had everything from banjo to harmonica. And I mean, the sound palette was just so big. So that was just wonderful to work on. And plus, animation movies are really popular. And so it's always good to go into that direction too.
Right. Now, do you feel that you need to bring a bit more of an emotional element to an animated film, as opposed to a live-action film where there's emotion on the screen pretty much already?
Not really. I mean, the only thing I try to actually keep on an animation film is that I try to actually score it real as I would on. I'm not the biggest fan of the classic cartoon style music, so I try to, as much as I can get away with it, to just kind of keep it real, actually, because I think it's, even though it's made for a younger audience, I think it brings across the humor more, in my opinion. And actually, I learned that from Hans, too, because Hans said when he did Lion King, he just approached it as a real movie and wrote some serious music for it. And I think that approach works really well.
The movie Iron Man is out. How did you get to work on the probably one of the biggest comic book films to come out in the past little while?
I simply heard that they were still looking for a composer, just because I'm a big comic book fan, and that's why I actually worked on Batman with Hans too, even though I was already doing my own stuff. But when Hans did Batman, I just asked him if I could just write one scene with Batman in the picture, and then I ended up working on the whole movie with them. And then with Iron Man, same thing. When I picked out the movie and I thought, wow, this looks like a really cool project. I would love to work on that. And so I just I talked with my agent. I talked with Hans. Hans definitely helped out on that too, and he actually came on board as a score producer, so that was a big help too. And that's how it started, basically.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned earlier that you got into guitar, or you're a guitarist. Is that sort of the reason why you kind of brought the guitar to Iron Man? It kind of gave you a chance to add that to the score?
Not really. Actually, it was actually John Favreau that always said, "This is going. We need a rock and roll score here. Like a traditional score will not work for this movie." I just happened to be lucky that my main instrument is guitar, even though I write on the piano and on the keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
In situations like this, it was perfect for me because it was so guitar driven that I could actually pick up the guitar and write these riffs and melodies on the guitar rather than the keyboard, because it will obviously change the approach.
Mm-hmm.
So I was lucky.
Well, now, is that sort of your approach also is sort of a nod to the Black Sabbath song, Iron Man?
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. It was in the trailer, and it had such a good response that I think it definitely for all of us to have the idea of, like, okay, we should continue the idea of guitars. Absolutely.
Okay. So now how involved did the director become in the music, or were you just kind of let go and bring something back when you're done, kind of thing?
No, he was very involved. In fact, I started writing before I even had pictured. It was simply based on just conversation after conversation. We would talk on the phone. I would go to the cutting room, and just he would show me the movie once, and then I went back to the studio and just started writing. In the beginning, we didn't meet that often, but maybe every 3 weeks, I would just call him up and say, "Hey, I have a 2 pieces. You want to just come by and take a listen?" And then you would just come over, and we would just, without any picture or anything, just sit down and listen and talk about it. And that's how we got closer to, until I actually had picture and just come up with the style and the guitar ideas and the themes. And but he was very involved until the very end. He had always great ideas.
So now when you're working on a score like Iron Man, how do you deliver the various cues to the music editor, we'll say? It obviously got long gone are the days of reel-to-reel tape. So how do you do that?
Pro Tools, actually, which that's what music editors work with these days. So it's perfect transition, actually. So everything, I mean, the beat my demo, which is just in my room here with samples and some live elements, or the final thing, which is the orchestra combined with all the guitars and drums that we recorded, and then all that gets mixed down to a huge amount of tracks. We actually deliver to the dub stage, to the final mix. We don't deliver a final mix, but we deliver completely separated stems. When dialogue and sound effects come in, they can still decide to pull back certain elements, because sometimes with all these elements coming together, you realize, you know what, the drums are poking out a little bit too much, so instead of the whole cue having to pull back, you can just pull back the drums, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So there's still a lot of wiggle room until the very end.
Right. Now, in a large action film like Iron Man, you know that some of your music is probably going to be buried by sound effects. does that affect your writing?
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, you definitely have to keep that in mind. I mean, in Iron Man, for example, say when the jets fly in, and also the whole suit, everything is it's machinery and metal, and I try to keep that in mind as much as I could while writing, knowing that there will be heavy competition going on there. But sometimes it's literally a give and take. Sometimes the sound effects will win, sometimes the music will win. I mean, in fact, the scene when he puts the Mark III on, the final suit, when he puts it on, mm-hmm. at some point we actually had to mute the entire cue, even though it was such an important scene. But at some point we thought, you know what, this is the music is fighting the sound effects, and there were some tonal elements in the sound effects, so at some point we actually took out the music there completely, and then played it without, and then realized, no, you know what, we really need music here. But that's sometimes how drastic it would be.
So, well, you kind of touched on my next question, actually. As a composer, your job is, of course, to write music. But do you use silence as a composing tool?
Absolutely. Yeah, actually, I always love that sometimes because as a composer, sometimes you tend to overscore and you try to write everything. Sometimes it's amazing, actually, what happens when you have written something and just go, like, you know what, starting here, let's just be silent, or start later, and then the effect it has is actually quite amazing. So I'm a huge fan of it, and sometimes it always sounds like, oh yeah, you have 105 minutes to write, so now you're saying that you love the silence here because you don't want to write another 2 minutes. But no, sometimes it's really it's quite a drastic effect, actually.
What was the most rewarding aspect of working on Iron Man?
Simply, it was such a huge movie. It was a lot of pressure, just succeeding at a movie like this and coming up with something unique. I hope I did. It was just when we finally were finished. It was such a relief and such an excitement that, like, wow, this great movie here. And, you know, with the whole teamwork with everybody, it was a really great experience, even though it was tough at times, I have to admit. It was never easy, just because there were a lot of picture changes and conceptual changes. And so in a movie like this, you always have to be ready for that, to, like, switch instantly to do something else.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the case of Iron Man, you saw the completed film basically before anybody else, the general public did. Does that ruin the movie-going experience for you?
Sometimes, yeah. I actually have to admit, I rarely go to the theaters anymore. I usually watch them all at home on DVD. Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. At the same time, I try to not be over-analytical either when I go to see movies. So it's about half and half.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. Have you ever been sitting somewhere and or, you know, flipping through the channels and you hear something and you go, wait, that's something I wrote.
I haven't I think I was going through HBO or something, and then Blade Trinity was on. Well, actually, no, I think I was actually upstairs, I remember, and the TV was on, and it came on, and I thought, wait a minute, that sounds familiar. And it was on, I remember that, yeah.
So now, when you're working on multiple projects, do you often find that perhaps maybe a theme from Project A or a musical expression from Project A can show up in Project B?
Well, I try not to. I don't know if that's sometimes things that critics will say more of a composer than the composer will admit himself. So I don't know. I mean, there's certain sound elements that I do reuse on purpose, just as my personal style. So there's, in Prison Break, I have these distortion sounds that I used on Deception and that I also used in Iron Man, just because I'm trying to define my style and sound with that.
Mm-hmm.
So that I do on purpose, but thematic things, I hope not. I try not to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, with all the composers that are out there, is it hard to define style?
I would say so, yeah, absolutely. Especially coming from Remote Control here, I hear a lot of times that people immediately think, oh, okay, there's another Hans Zimmer ripoff composer. And so I have to say, as wonderful as it is here, that is hard to break out of that. But others have done it. I mean, John Powell used to be here, and Harry Gregson-Williams, these guys have done it, so I hope that I can follow that same path, actually. Okay. I'm trying. Yeah.
Well, is there a genre of films that you haven't written for that you'd like to write for?
Romantic comedy. Even though I've worked with Hans on Something's Gotta Give, but I don't have a romantic comedy to my own name. And I love the variety of styles. So now, having done a big action movie, an animation and a thriller, now I would love to do a romantic comedy, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now, how would a score that you write today differ from one that you wrote at the beginning of your career?
That's a good question, actually. I just hope that I got a lot more mature. But I mean, it's, you know, you always develop further. But yeah, music, I never know, because sometimes I list my very first score and then I listen to it and go, like, wow, I wrote that 6-7 years ago, you know, like I get surprised myself sometimes of what I did back then, I don't know, I don't think about it much, if my approach differs, or, yeah, that is a tough question, actually, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, how about technology? Like, I mean, music technology has probably changed when you first started. How do you keep up on it?
Well, we constantly upgrade here. We always are on this, and because we rely on samples and our precise demos so much, the computers and everything has to always be up to date. Otherwise, the new plugins and sounds that come out, then the computer won't even be able to play it anymore. So we automatically always have to be up to date. And actually, I enjoy that part of it. Usually, in between movies, I switch to new gear, and then it's fun exploring those new elements and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I try to always have everything completely up to date.
All right. Now, how is the learning curve on these systems? Give you enough time to sort of get into it?
Once you're in it, it's okay. But at first, it's a bit overwhelming. I always say, I always tell the story. When I first came here to Remote to start helping as a composer, I I was eager and I was ready, and I said, okay, I'm a composer and I want to write on this movie. And in the beginning, I didn't actually get to write any music, and I had to learn all the equipment first and see how to handle all these things. And that's why I always laugh about it now, because when I think back, if they had set me down the first week that I got there and said, okay, write this cue up, it's just so complex that you really just have to learn it first. But once you're in it, then it's okay. Then it's just always just small upgrades and changes.
So now, now that Iron Man is under your belt, and the soundtrack, I'm sorry, is available on
Lionsgate.
Okay, what does the future hold for you?
I don't know. I'm looking around. I'm doing Open Season 2 at the moment, actually. So there's another animation movie.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm going to work with David Goyer again, which his movie is called The Unborn, and that's a horror thriller thing, which I'm excited about too. And then I have Hotel Transylvania, which is another Sony animation movie, but that's still out, I think, a year and a half or so. So I have these two now, and then I don't know. I'm kind of looking around what's out there, just trying to pick a different style yet again, so that I can keep the variety and then don't get cornered. It's like, oh, he's the action guy, oh, he's that guy.
Right. Writing music for films, I imagine, can be quite stressful. What do you do to relax?
Exercise, actually. I swim and I surf. That's kind of the only in the free time in the mornings. The mornings are always good for me because I work late usually. And I just try to keep the exercise going, swimming in the morning. It really helps my arms and my back from sitting in front of the computer for 14 hours so much. So it always gets tougher towards the end of the project to actually even keep that going, but it definitely helps a lot. And it gets your mind off of things, too, to just do laps.
All right. Well, I really appreciate the time you've given me today.
Oh, sure.
It's always great, speaking to someone as talented as you are. First of all, I've really enjoyed your work for Prison Break and Iron Man. I was just like, okay, this is fantastic stuff.
Well, I'm glad to hear. Thank you very much.
And with the interview with Ramin Djawadi, that's he was fantastic to talk to, and I'm glad I got a chance to speak to him. Iron Man, of course, is on Lionsgate Records, so go out and see if you can find it. You'll hear a little bit of the Iron Man score in just a little bit, but I'm going to play a smattering of scores from Ramin. First of all, the score to Open Season, then his score to Deception, and then Iron Man will follow very shortly after that. Anyway, so here is some music from Open Season, and then I'll be back in just a little bit.
Thank you.
With a little bit of music from Open Season. That's music by Ramin Djawadi. Well, if you're interested in any of the film, television, or video game music that I do play here on Visions and Sound, you can contact me here at the station at 519-884-2567. That's 519-884-CKMS. I'm only going to move right on to Deception, which is another film score done by Ramin, so I'll be back in just a little bit. Thank you. And with some music from Deception, that's music by Ramin Djawadi. Well, like I said, if you're interested in any of the film, television, or video game music that I play here on Visions and Sound, you can contact me here at the station at 884-CKMS. That's 884-2567. You can also try me online at visionsinsound2000@hotmail.com. Well, moving on to the score I'm sure you're all waiting for. This is music from the recent film Iron Man. This is music, of course, by Ramin Djawadi. He'll be back in just a little bit. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
And with a little bit of music from Ramin Djawadi's music to Iron Man. Well, getting close to the, well, very close to the end of the program, and I just wanted to say that's all for me this week. Hope you've enjoyed this week's look at the composer Ramin Djawadi's music, and I'll end off this week with some more from Iron Man. Now, just a reminder that the show is ending. Well, not ending. My show is the last program on CKMS is next week, so be sure to tune in, and I will give a proper goodbye. So I will be back next week with more Visions in Sound. Here is some more of Ramin Djawadi's music from Iron Man.